Video games.
Yes, you can!
Comic books.
Nothing is impossible.
Sci-fi.
Just
anime.
Do it!
If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably gonna talk about it.
What are you waiting for?
This is Nerd Radio.
Make your dreams come true!
Welcome to this week's Nerd Radio. My name is Chuck B, and I'm joined by my co-host, Al Beck, as always, and joined this week by James.
What's up?
From the Dave and Chuck the Freak Show.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate
Welcome
it.
Welcome back to the show. You're gonna be on the show all week this week, because we're going to talk some wrestling later on in the show.
Yeah.
Survivor Series coming up.
I finally feel I've had some acceptance from the nerds in the building.
Absolutely.
I'm like, what the heck, man? I'm not nerdy enough to hang out with these guys. I'm not cool enough to hang out with Meltdown.
Well...
The weird gray
none of us
area,
are. None
you know?
Of us are.
I'm not famous enough to hang out with Meltdown. Mm. He doesn't drop my name anywhere.
No.
He should. I drop your name everywhere.
Well, thank you. Hey, drop my name anywhere you can.
You've gotten me into more conventions than you know.
Oh, that's awesome. You got just drop my name at the sex shop, man. They'll hook you up with free dildos and all that good stuff.
I'm gonna keep that in mind.
Yeah.
So hit us up on our social media at Nerd Radio 101. This is one of those weeks where you like going into it. I'm picking out news stories and I'm putting stuff up, and you know we're gonna talk about this and this and this. And then Monday afternoon rolls around, and as the big news this week is that Stanley at the age of 95 has finally passed away on us. When did you guys find out? Because I was at the grocery store and just, you know,
mine was over a text message.
I pulled up Twitter and I'm like,
And it was more of like, and the text message, the context of the text message was like, oh, you probably already heard. I just found out Stan Lee. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Hang on.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so that's it. It kind of was the breaking news for me. And then, of course, you know, started Googling and everything. And
right.
Hey, it was one of those things where it wasn't exactly a surprise.
Yeah.
But it's still sad.
Yeah.
It's a bummer.
But. I posted on my Facebook and someone responded to it and said, like, well, I wouldn't really call it sad. Like, I would. I just didn't call it. It's not a surprise. You know, I mean, he was 95.
Yeah.
The last couple of videos that he had posted, he didn't look very good in them. I mean, he wasn't very strong. We all kind of knew.
Yeah, all signs pointed to imminent death.
Yeah, it really did. You know, but it's a bummer, man. I mean, he was so much a part of our childhood and even some of our adulthood, because I refused to grow up. You know?
Well, yeah, I would definitely say he is a cornerstone of the pop culture that this show is built on.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely.
Stan Lee, Vince McMahon. There are definitely some iconic figures that I don't think it's underselling it to say that, you know, we wouldn't be here talking about so much of comic books if Stan Lee hadn't have laid the groundwork back in the 60s with Marvel Comics. But at the same time, I had a conversation, I want to say it was just a week or two ago, when I was at my comic store with some guy, and his he said something along the lines of, like, you know, Stan Lee's going to pay, he's 95, he's going to pass away one of these days, and when he does, comic books are over. And I don't know that I agree with that.
No, not even close.
There's plenty of people that still carry the torch. I mean, I doubt you're going to get new characters as iconic as the Marvel characters that he's created, just because I feel...
Right.
You know.
Well, even if you do, it's, you know, we're still talking about a Daredevil or a Fantastic Four or something like that, you know, what, like 50 years later kind of thing. Like 50 years from now, what are they going to be? Are they going to be talking about Rick Grimes from The Walking Dead? You know,
sure.
Whatever's going on right now.
The comic's a lot better than the show. The comic is a lot better
than the
show.
I'll take your word for it, Al. It's a lot of back reading I have to catch up on.
I spent
enough time watching the last couple seasons of that show. I don't want to invest any more time.
I think it's like 14 years of comic books you're behind on.
Holy lordy. It's a lot of bathroom reading.
It is.
It always blows me away, too, when people first get into The Walking Dead and they like pick up the first trade, which is like 6 issues, and they'll pick up one of those omnibuses, which is like 50. And they will blow through, like you said, like 6 years of comics in about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then be like, where's the next one?
Yeah, feeding for more.
Yeah. But back to Stan Lee, man.
Yeah, comic books are far from over. I mean, he changed comic books.
Yeah, his name hasn't been on a major selling title.
What
in,
I was just
going like,
to say.
Decade.
Yeah, I mean, he would write a couple things here and there. I remember, I collect Spider-Man, and for like years and years ago, they had a thing that they did, Spidey Sundays or something like that, and it was like a 2-page thing that Stan Lee wrote.
Yeah.
And it went at the back end of the issue, and it was just 2 pages written by Stan Lee.
Well, that's one of the, you know, that's, I think comic books will definitely change with the passing of Stan Lee, but I don't know that the changes will be as big as some people might think they're going to be. Because once again, I don't know that Stan Lee was very influential in the year 2018 in the comic book industry.
No, it'll continue
However,
to evolve.
He was
but...
the face.
Yeah, he's a figurehead. Yeah.
For a lot of people, he is the face of comic books.
And I think his cameos in all the movies is what really helped like drive that home.
Yeah.
Like you'd see him, you know, it's going to be some weird surprise old guy scene in the movie, and it's going to be Stan Lee.
Right.
Well, the person who texted me about Stan Lee probably has never read a comic book in their life. And knows who Stan Lee is. That's the thing. Everybody knows.
That girl.
Everybody knows who Stan Lee is because he's like the most iconic comic book writer of all time.
Right.
You know, even though you know who, you know, Batman is, you maybe don't know who Bob Kane is.
For sure.
You know, I mean, everyone who reads comics knows who he is, but outside of it, not necessarily.
Who is he?
He's kind of created Batman.
Okay. I assume that's who it was, but I just wanted to make sure.
Who's more?
Because I'm one of those guys, I'm like, well, I definitely know Batman.
Yeah. Right.
Bob Kane, huh?
Well, even
that.
That
created him?
Perfect. Actually, it's a perfect example because James does have his foot in the nerd world. Not his foot. He's got a foot in the comic book world. He's in the nerd world.
Right.
Yeah.
And the same thing where it's like, I think that's the creator of Batman, but let's make sure 100% for this.
I got my fingers dipped in a lot of different places.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah. Let's just going to table James and his messy fingers.
Put his fingers and stuff.
His finger dippers.
That one tastes good.
Oh.
Yeah, ooh, I like that. That's a spicy one.
Actually, one of the guys that called me on Monday is a listener of the show and a good friend of mine. His name was Dave, and he called me and was like, "Did you hear the bad news about Stan Lee?" And we got to talking about it. And that was one of the things that I brought up to him when I was talking about it is that there's a lot of characters that even you look at the Marvel movies now, there's a lot of characters that like Stan Lee did not touch. Like he did. Yeah, he created Iron Man. He created the X-Men. Yep. He created Thor.
Spider-Man.
Like that.
Yeah.
Rocket Raccoon was created by a totally different dude.
Yeah.
I don't know that I don't know how much of a hand he had in the Black Panther. He did not create Venom.
Nope. Didn't create Deadpool, which is my guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Some of the guys that you know are you know have huge movie or television things like
that. Oh, I know. It's like I mean, it's
I concede once again that Marvel and comic books in general would not have gotten to the point where there is a Deadpool and there is a Venom or something like that if Stan Lee had not laid the groundwork back in the 60s. It's just kind of a thing where, like, it's very sad, but the industry itself, I don't think, it's not over.
No.
Just because Stan Lee's gone.
No. I think that's insanity to make such a proclamation.
Right. But that was something when I was talking to my buddy Dave on the phone that he brought up. They've filmed a whole bunch of his cameos for these Marvel movies. Like, he'll be in the next Avengers later this year. He'll probably be in Captain Marvel, something like that. At what point do you stop putting Stan Lee cameos in the movies? You know, like, let's say they've got almost the next 4 years worth of Stan Lee cameos, you know, ready. Like, at what point does it become kind of ghoulish?
I don't know. I mean, I would say, I mean, come on. He knew.
I was going to say, I think if you take it from the Stan Lee point of view, he would love being in every single Marvel movie to come out just for his own personal ego. You know, I feel like he personally would be like, I'm going to be in every single one.
We could Rogue One him into some future ones that he didn't film anything for.
See, you know, I have to do it with him actually in it. Yeah. Like one of the movies that they had his cameo, he wasn't actually in it. There was a mural, like just a painting of him on the wall that you see in passing. You know, it could be something as little as that.
Like
you know, you still pay homage or whatever to Stan Lee, but you don't have to do it in such a weird, you know, a comic-y way where he's like driving a school bus almost turning, you know, careening off the road because Spider-Man's doing something or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
This is the ways you can still put it in to where it's not like, it's
kind of like they did with Harold Ramis in the Ghostbusters.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Ago,
you just had that bus of him.
That's all it took.
Yeah.
And that was super cool. That's a great idea, honestly, for sure. And that also leads me to another question. Like, is there anyone you can think of off the top of your head that you put in that Stan Lee role for the Marvel movies after that?
Like the cameos?
Yeah. Is there? Because I don't think Marvel doesn't have another, like, figurehead.
No.
That's as iconic as Stan Lee was.
No. No. And if you say Grant Morrison, I'm going to dive over this desk and pummel you to death.
He did write a pretty kick-ass X-Men, so.
Yeah. Bring us Andy Kubert! Or did I say the right one?
You did. Andy Kubert is the one I hate.
Yes. Adam Kubert. Yeah.
Thank you.
I get a moment.
This is something I definitely wanted to, you know, as we eulogize Stan Lee here on the show here. Do you guys have a favorite Stan Lee appearance? Because for me, it's Mallrats.
Oh, Mallrats.
His appearance in Mallrats is cool. Is just fantastic.
And I'd probably have to agree with you on that, simply because one of the things I want to talk about was, to me, like, because I always like to take it down the dirty path, and this is the one of the things they address in the Mallrats movie.
Right.
The only person that knows what the genitalia of the Marvel Universe would possibly look like is now gone.
That's true.
Oh, no.
Has he left notes? Is there any kind of, like, record?
Is a codex somewhere?
You know, like, is there somewhere, like, you know, in case times get real tough, we got to go down the triple X route.
That's the final, like, Infinity Gem.
Like the anime thing, you know?
It's the Hulk dick.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, small? Like, is he angry because his wiener's so small? You know, what's...
Do you think maybe that's something that they approach in the comics now that Stan Lee is gone?
Hey, we saw Batman's wiener in a Batman episode.
It's true.
The door is open for Marvel Universe genitalia to be exposed. That's all I'm saying.
You think maybe he was the last bastion of, like, you know, hey, we're gonna show the things dark, and
yeah,
you know, and someone's like, no, Stan wouldn't like
that. Stan, no, you're losing it, man. You're 95 years old. No, we can't show the thing. You know, we got to get around it. And plus, it's probably gonna look like it's riddled with herpes or whatever. It's gonna be all crusty and
it's gonna be rocky
looking. It's gonna be weird. You know,
right.
Like, people aren't ready to see this freakish wiener.
They're not.
But now that he's gone, I mean, hell, finding out that there's a superhero genitalia in a comic book would actually make me go out and buy the comic book. Like, I'm not joking. Like, when Al told me he had that issue, I was like, Al, you gotta let me borrow that issue.
Still asking for it.
Done with it yet? I just want to take a gander. I just want to see.
You know? I know what'll happen if I lend that to him.
He's gonna get it back, and all the pages will be stuck
together.
Right.
Jesus!
I'm gonna have to get it graded before and after.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully you get it graded after. It's worth more. Like, this is an A triple plus. Al.
Yeah.
I feel like I need to warn James that the bat dong is flaccid.
Oh, that's fine.
Okay,
you know,
that's
well then.
All right, fair enough.
You see the flaccid dong, and then you use your imagination
for the
erection. You know,
right?
Like,
exactly.
What's the actual erect bat dong doing?
I remember talking to the guy at my comic store as he was handing me the issue when that one came out, and he was very hopeful that, you know, if we're going to show Batman's wiener in the first issue of this miniseries, maybe in the second issue we'll get to see Harley's boobs.
Yeah, and I'm cool with that too.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah. Let's see them all. Superheroes all amongst all of you. Let's see them. Bust them out.
Well,
butts, boobs, you name it.
we started today talking about Stan Lee. Now we're talking about boobs and penis. So
superhero genitalia.
Yep. So, but the gist of it is, I think everyone will miss the influence of Stan Lee.
Yeah.
No matter how great or small it was in 2018. On the pop culture.
Well, he did make it more palatable for a wider audience.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, he did change it. And again, like we were saying before, it's not going to change the comic book industry at all.
Right.
As we know it today. I mean, how much influence did he have at this point? He was an icon. I mean, you know, everyone knew him.
And it'll be really interesting for all the documentaries and stuff. Like, everybody goes to Stan Lee to talk.
Yeah.
They want to talk to somebody about comics or what's going on. They go to Stan Lee. And it'll be interesting to see who do they go to.
Well, now they're going to Kevin Smith.
Oh, maybe.
I feel like Kevin Smith will become the authority on all that stuff. But he kind of already has become the authority on nerd culture to begin with. But
you sound like you got a little animosity about that.
No, dude, I love Kevin Smith. Like, I'm cool with it.
Kevin Smith, but you're probably right.
That's who I think is going to go. No, I didn't mean to come across that way.
Right. I'm just picturing Todd McFarlane, you know, coming out of his cave and putting his face in front of everybody now that Stan Lee's gone.
Oh, yeah. Or Alan Moore. Oh, God.
Right.
He's the guy behind Watchmen?
Yeah.
Yeah. Watchmen, V for Vendetta, any comic book.
Is he like a crazy beard? Is he a super old crazy beard?
Yeah,
like,
he's a wizard.
He's a
legit wizard.
Okay.
He's like Charles Manson as a writer.
Yeah.
That's what he looks like.
But I think, though, with Stan Lee's passing, like, is he being talked about? It could actually open the door for more people to come check out Marvel, check out comics, and it could actually create new fans.
That would be a very cool side effect.
You know, like, I don't know if it's Notorious B.I.G. or whoever said it, like, you're nobody until you die. You know, then you're that's when you become somebody. And Stan Lee was already somebody big.
Yeah.
Now he's passed away. What kind of ripple effect are you going to see from people who are just now finding out about Stan Lee? You know, they've kind of, oh, yeah, I've heard about those Avenger movies or whatever. And then the guy that created him died. And then, like, well, let's see what this is all about. And then, bam, who knows, like, what could blossom in those brains?
That's true. Yeah, it would be interesting if it has that kind of, like, a musician-like effect.
Yeah.
Of, like, people going into comic stores going, like, do you have the collection of Stan Lee's X-Men?
Yeah, because how many bands have you listened to? Or, like, how many recording artists have you went and checked out? Because you're like, I don't know who the hell these people are.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but the lead singer just committed suicide or whatever. And I'm going to see what they're all about. And, like, oh, my God, this guy was such a powerful poet. Like, I love his stuff.
Yeah.
And now you're like, bummed out that you missed the opportunity to see him live.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, as much as, you know, people, as they look him up, they start to see how many of these characters he did create. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, we kind of ran through like a, you know, don't get it twisted. He didn't create this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy.
Right.
But it's also kind of fair to say that he created everyone you've ever heard of from the Marvel side of things.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, he created so many of these massive characters, and even the ones he didn't. I mean, come on.
Well,
Thor existed in Norse mythology, but he reinvented him.
Right.
Captain America was not his creation, but he brought him back, found a way that kind of saw this character and saw more value than just propaganda during the war, because that's all he was originally. Just he showed up on a comic book and punched Hitler in the face.
Right.
And then the war ended. They put him away. And then in the 60s, when Stan came up with the idea for the Avengers, he was like, we got this other character that we own rights to.
He's a modern-day super soldier.
Yeah. And you know, came up with an idea of how where he's been for the last 20 years with Frozen and Ice, and, you know, brought him back in the whole thing. So, I mean, truly iconic. And the Fantastic Four were really where it started for him. The, you know, Marvel's first family. You know?
Right. Right. Like I was saying, like the X-Men, Daredevil, he was a big part of. Mm-hmm. Doctor Strange, Ant-Man.
Yep.
You know, a lot of the first characters that they've licensed for anything, whether it's movies or television shows or something like that, they typically start with a Stan Lee created character.
And even the Avengers themselves. DC always kind of made up like different cities and stuff, you know, like, you know, Star City and Gotham. And they're always loosely based on a real city, but they're all fictional cities. Whereas Marvel was like, we'll just put them in New York. This new character, put them in New York too. Hey, that one, he's from New York. And Stan Lee was the first one that kind of created the comic book team up, because he's sitting there looking at all these characters and he goes, you know, they're all in New York. They're going to run into each other eventually. And that's where the idea of the Avengers came from. Let's put them all on a team together. They're all in the same city. They'll know each other. Let's team them up. And of course, you know, you get the Justice League in DC, and there's all sorts of, you know, ideas of bringing it all together. Actually, he's responsible for the things I hate about Marvel too. Because the way the way they blend it all together, and you have to read six comic books to know what's going on in one.
Yeah.
Oh no.
That's all Stan Lee's fault, man.
Son of a, he passed away. I'm just going to leave it alone.
Yeah. I did see.
Tune in next week for my rant.
My favorite tweet about it is, you know, I would imagine somebody's probably working on a Stan Lee biopic as we speak. Mm. And somebody pulled up like this picture from Stan Lee in the 1975. They need to get the comedian Mark Maron.
I could see that. Yeah.
And I don't even like at that point, if you're going to get Mark Maron to be Stan Lee, I don't even want you to write Stan Lee's biopic. I just want Mark Maron in a movie being Mark Maron.
Oh God.
Where like the things that happen to Stan Lee happen to him and he reacts to them as
y'all improvised. Yeah.
Right?
So angry. I love Mark Maron.
All right. Well, if you've got any good Stan Lee stories you want to share with us, hit us up on our social media at Nerd Radio 101. We're coming back. Me and Kyle are going to talk about BlizzCon and then of course Survivor Series coming up this week. So we're going to hit that as Nerd Radio returns right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Nerd Radio.
It's cool. I'm taking it back.
What are you nuts?
I'm taking it back. You watch.
Welcome back. It's Nerd Radio all over your social media at Nerd Radio 101. Chuck Bean, Kyle, do you want a nickname for the show or something, Kyle? We have you on.
You're calling me GK.
GK. Ginger Kyle. Ginger Kyle coming in hot on Nerd Radio. We, of course, we're talking about the weekend of YumaCon just last week, and also happening during that weekend. Happens this way every year.
It's
BlizzCon. Would you rather be at BlizzCon than YumaCon? I think I'd rather be at YumaCon because there's so varied.
I personally would rather be at BlizzCon.
Yeah.
Because
I know you're a huge fan of a lot of Blizzard IP.
There's a reason why this convention sells out in two ways. And that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's BlizzCon.
Right.
Well, thousands of millions of fans around the world.
BlizzCon, obviously, handling the Blizzard properties, Heroes of the Storm, Overwatch, Diablo, World of Warcraft. This year, as most years, we got to look at the new hero for Overwatch.
Yep, Ashe.
Ashe, which is another cowboy. Yeah. With a robot butler.
I got my own opinions on that.
What do you think?
I think her kit is cool. I think that they stayed away from someone that had a lot of crowd control and stun abilities, yeah. And they kind of just said, hey, here's this kind of plain Jane character.
Right.
Here you go. But I think it's cool. It fleshes out another hero's past, but I was kind of hoping for something a little more curveball-y, kind of like how Wrecking Ball was. But
sure, yeah.
I thought it was great. And
I can tell from her video that she's kind of more of a sniper, which means I'm not going to be good at her.
Yeah, unfortunately so. But her kit is really cool. I'd say still give her a try. And we also got to see a extra new character in the short as well.
Near
her name is
it.
Echo.
Yeah.
And she will also be playable somewhere later on down the road. But she was cool as well.
Yeah, she looked very cool. A little bit like Eve from WALL-E.
Very exactly.
Sleek looking android. They also gave us a video of McCree, just being awesome. Which I always appreciate that stuff. Every time somebody's like, "Yeah, they're gonna do a Netflix show or something like that," I'm like, "No, I just like two or three of these a year. I'm good.
Exactly.
Two or three of these little 10-minute videos around a character, like that's enough for me. They're always quality. So that's what I'm more interested in the quality than the quantity.
Exactly.
When it comes to that stuff.
I think that's why they're so good.
As far as Heroes of the Storm goes, you were telling me.
Orphea, we get our first non-Blizzard IP original character for Heroes of the Storm. Orphea,
who is the
daughter of the Raven Man, who is another custom character for Heroes for their kind of smattered storyline, which is kind of cool. She looks sweet. She's, for anyone that loves anime, they're going to love Orphea because she's kind of like this little tiny chick that just can control darkness, and it's super cool.
And that'll be super fun to see Heroes of the Storm wise. Not all good news out of BlizzCon, though.
No.
As they announced Diablo Eternal, which is a portable, like a cell phone version of Diablo, and the fans very upset because they were expecting Diablo 4.
Yeah.
Very upset.
Yes, and I think I read an article where they said Diablo 4 was going to be announced at BlizzCon, then they're like, forget about it. We're going to do this instead. And look at what happened.
Yeah. Not real good stuff. Of course, there was a bunch of cosplayers out there doing a whole bunch. It fascinates me that people go to BlizzCon and cosplay stuff that isn't Blizzard related. Like
I know.
Comic book characters and stuff. Like, what are we doing here? But a lot of neat stuff to look forward to Blizzard wise in the coming future. What's the next big Overwatch event? Because I played the Halloween event and I love all the events that are player versus environment.
So the next one is Winter Wonderland, where they have
that's the snowball fight
that's May's snowball offensive.
I hate that.
And there's also you get the 4v5 Yeti one where you're
I wasn't good at that either.
So
I appreciate that it's essentially Pac-Man.
Yeah, and now Jeff Kaplan did come out earlier, like a couple months ago, saying, we have a lot of cool things for you, but right now their focus is on, they're done with retuning characters after Symmetra and Torbjorn, which went over very, very well.
Yeah, I had not played Torbjorn until the Halloween event, so I didn't know how he changed until he was part of the Halloween event, but I like it.
And I think it's really cool as well. It'll offer a lot of new strategies for Overwatch League and all that. And then on top of that, right now I think they're worried with, they have six characters in the pipeline that are like ready to get put into the game. It's just they're going to release them, you know, how they do. But they're concentrating on player experience and making some new content. The seasonal events that everyone just loves, they're kind of putting on the back burner a little bit, only because how the events are right now are perfectly fine, and they
They don't want to flood the thing. They don't want there just to be one season event after another.
Exactly.
Well, where can people find your Twitch stream, Kyle?
You can find me at twitch.tv/acolyte. That's A-K-I-L-Y-T-E.
That's right.
Every Wednesday at 8 p.m.
And you can, of course, find Kyle right here on the Nerd Radio Podcast. Thanks for coming in, Kyle.
Thank you for having me once again.
We'll talk to you again real soon, man.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Hey, what's up? It's WWE Superstar Braun Strowman, and you're listening to Nerd Radio.
Welcome back. It's Nerd Radio on the podcast page, on iTunes, and all over your social media at Nerd Radio 101. My name is Chuck Bean, and it is time for the Squared Circle Roundtable. This weekend is not only WWE Survivor Series, but NXT TakeOver War Games. So, of course, I am joined by Eric Menace, and returning to the show for the first time for our wrestling segment, James.
Yeah, what's up? It's James.
I'm so excited to have you here because, like, explain to me your wrestling background.
Okay, my wrestling background. I was big into wrestling in high school, like during the WWE Attitude Era. Like, I was all over that. Like, okay. I knew it from front to back. I knew everything about it. And then I realized, well, James, if you ever want to get a lady friend to touch you in the no-no spots, you might need to put the wrestling down.
Wrestling might need to go on the back burner.
Yeah, so I retired my rock shirt, my Stone Cold Steve Austin mask, and I pursued something else. And now that the girl that I'm with she's cool with wrestling, she's cool with sports entertainment. She actually enjoys it. So I got back into it like last year, Royal Rumble, subscribed to the WWE Network, and I've been trying to play catch up.
Yeah,
I'm playing catch up all along. I had a small foray into sports commentary. We had a little independent wrestling league, the Championship Wrestling League, that started up. And I did one night calling a match with Matt Stryker. I bombed horribly. I felt like I bombed horribly. Everybody else says I did fine, but I felt like I bombed. You know when you did a good job. And I felt like, I didn't really give it the full James
treatment.
Yeah. And then somebody bought that league, so now they're on hold. So I'm waiting to see. Hopefully I'll have a future with them in 2019. And now I'm here with you guys talking wrestling on the podcast.
Well,
on the radio.
It's great to have you here. Before we start, because I feel like a lot of wrestling fans do that. Like you see it when you're a kid or you're a teenager or something like that. There's an era that you love, and then you walk away from it. Like I also had a very similar experience, but then you come back.
Yeah, I came back, and it's like you never left.
What was the thing that you saw that you're like, oh man, wrestling looks cool. What happened? I need to
like back in the day, like what first drew me to it?
Well, like you, when you came back, like you said, like you got the Royal Rumble last year. Like what was the thing? Who was it you saw?
Well, actually,
what was
John Cena. John Cena is the reason why I got back into wrestling.
Really?
Dude, I love John Cena. Like I hated him before. I remember watching commercials when I was out of the wrestling game and I was into the lady touching my bits phase.
what a phase it was.
Yeah, it was a wonderful phase for the one or two women I could convince to do stuff with. I see him do promos on USA Network with the championship belt spinning around, like spinner rims. I'm like, who is this clown? Get him out of here. And then he started showing up in movies, and I'm like, who is it? Why is he a thing? Why is John Cena a thing? And then, like, I fell in love with him.
And he came around.
He's hilarious. I'm like, this guy's hilarious, and he's such a positive role model. Like, you don't see people that are such positive role models anymore. And I was like, you know what, John Cena? And I don't mean this in the sexual way. I'm like, this is a guy I could get behind. I can get behind this guy. Like,
if you did mean it in a sexual way, we wouldn't judge you.
No, that's cool.
Not here.
So if you wanted to go down that route, we could talk John Cena. But,
for sure.
I think he's a really cool guy. I think he's funny. I think he's a genuine dude. And he brought me back into wrestling. I'm like, I got to get back into wrestling and see what this is all about. I want to watch him wrestle. And well, then I just was horribly disappointed with him, his match with The Undertaker at WrestleMania. But,
weren't we all?
Yeah. Like when The Undertaker's entrance takes longer than the entire match, you're like, something's not right here.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, there's we could just talk about that for probably an hour.
Yeah,
just
that's the episode.
Yeah, The Undertaker and wrestlers and stuff like that. But let's stay focused.
Survivor Series.
This week is Survivor Series, and it's one of the big four, which means not only is it Survivor Series, but Saturday is NXT TakeOver.
Yes.
And we're getting War Games for the second time. which is kind of, Erica, I know you were super pumped for this.
I love War Games.
For this NXT.
War Games is great.
Why do you love War Games?
I mean, a great gimmick. It's two rings.
It's two wrestling rings side by side.
And it's just brutal.
And you put a cage around it.
So much can go awry and it's so true. Much could go right. And you just, you're like, someone might die today. We don't know.
Now, how many wrestlers are going into the ring in War Games at one time?
Well, see, and you know, we discussed this kind of last night. Typically with War Games, it's three teams of three, correct?
Or at least last year it was three teams of three. In my I was a lapsed fan during the Attitude Era, so I didn't see very much WCW. But to the best of my knowledge, in the old days, it would be like it is this year, two teams of four guys.
Okay.
Because I think they centered one of the first ones around the Four Horsemen.
Yes.
So it'd be the Four Horsemen versus four face guys or whatever like that. And they put two guys in the ring, and then every X amount of time, they randomly pick a guy from one of the other teams to come out and get in the cage. So typically, the first guy in will be a heel, so that you got two heels beating up face kind of thing. And then they go back and forth, and you can't win the match until everyone's in the ring.
Yes.
And then somebody can, you know, get a pinfall.
So this is a gimmick they borrowed from WCW?
Yes.
This is a Dusty Rhodes creation.
Yep.
Excellent. Okay, I had no idea. I just realized what was going on. I just now started getting into the NXT stuff.
Okay.
Like, the Velveteen Dream guy, man, that guy is really good.
Yeah.
But anyways, so when I realized what it was, I'm like, oh, there's two rings and it's in a cage? I'm like, oh, well, hey, NXT, you have my attention.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I might actually have to watch it on Saturday.
Right.
Instead of, you know, I've always ignored the NXT, never paid attention. Okay. So.
Because for the last couple of years, historically, the NXT that they have on Saturday, almost as documented on the show, I have to watch the NXT like Monday after whatever the Sunday event is, because if you watch NXT on Saturday, the Sunday event always disappoints.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
The NXT
man.
Events are so, as Erica likes to put it, they are
all killer, no filler.
Nice.
It is a very succinct card. There's proper buildup for all of the matches. And things make sense. It's not just like a match is thrown on the card just to be, just because like, oh, we want such and such to get a payday, which I can respect because, you know, I respect anybody who wants to make money. But if it's just 10 minutes where I could have been entertained with something better.
So every match has a storyline. There's a background too, like why these guys are getting in the ring, they hate each other.
It's not 4 or 5 hours. Yeah. It's usually about two, maybe three.
It's not, oh, hey, Randy Orton needs a paycheck, so let's throw him in the ring with The Undertaker for 2 minutes and they can cash those checks.
For the War Games match, we do have the Undisputed Era, which is NXT's version of the Bullet Club, essentially, because you've got Adam Cole, Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, and Roderick Strong taking on Pete Dunne, the NXT UK champ, Ricochet, and the War Raiders.
A lot of meat in one ring. Two rings.
A lot of dudes.
That's why they needed two.
It feels like it doesn't have quite the star power that last year's War Games had.
But it's still good.
Yeah, at the same time, there are at least four guys in there that I know by name because I like, oh, I like that guy's work quite a bit. So that will be, I'm kind of flabbergasted looking at the card. There are only four matches listed.
Exactly.
For this card.
And wow, how long is the pay-per-view supposed to be?
2 hours minimum.
Okay.
But you've got a War Games match, and then the women have a 2 out of 3 falls match for the Women's Championship, which will be Kairi Sane and Shayna Baszler, rematch from Evolution. So it'll be interesting to see. I don't know that I've seen a women's 2 out of 3 falls match yet in this modern era.
I'd have to really, if anyone has done it, it's probably been like Bayley and Sasha, which, I mean, they've done the Iron Woman match, but like any of those four horse women have probably done something similar.
Yeah. Shayna Baszler's won me over.
I love her so much. A year ago,
I hated her because she was such a heel. And now I've gotten over that. I understand she's playing the character really well.
Easily the strong, like, I think the most underrated heel in the entire company when you factor in NXT, Raw, and SmackDown, just brutal. Like, you will hate her, but then just the respect you have for the dedication she has to her character.
Yeah.
And then, once again, it's that thing of, you'll learn this if you join us again, I really like some of the women's wrestlers that I know could literally kill me. And Shayna Baszler could literally kill me.
Okay.
So I'm very intrigued with her.
Absolutely. We'll get to Shayna Baszler's four horsewoman of MMA partner, Ronda Rousey, in a couple of minutes here. But the other two matches we've got to look forward in the NXT card. Tommaso Ciampa, the NXT champion, who's been doing fabulous work, taking on the Velveteen Dream.
Yeah.
As James was saying, Velveteen Dream is somebody that everybody that sees Velveteen Dream, like his character, his in-ring work, like everything about him is just, it's real well.
Yeah, the two matches that I've seen the Velveteen Dream in, I swear to God, he was in the air for 90% of the match. Like, yeah. I'm like, when is the guy going to touch his feet on into the ring and actually wrestle? He's always flying around doing all these like high action like stunts, man. Like,
right.
I was really impressed by his work.
And I think the commentators have said multiple times, dude's only like 23
or
something,
man.
Like that.
Yeah, he's a child.
He's at the feel so old now.
He's at the beginning of his career, and he's already this good.
Yeah,
so.
You see a 23-year-old being that successful, and I'm 36 and barely scraping by.
I feel that. No, I feel that.
Man.
The match NXT fans are definitely looking forward to, though, is Aleister Black and Johnny Gargano. The turn of Johnny Gargano has been masterful from Mr. Wrestling, the face that everybody loved. Trying to take down his old tag team partner, Tommaso Ciampa, who's the top heel in the company, turning heel by jumping Aleister Black in the parking lot so that he could have a chance at Tommaso Ciampa, because he is laser focused on pulling the title off of his arch nemesis, Tommaso Ciampa. It's Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, man.
I know, but I think done better.
Yeah.
And I think there's been more maliciousness. If that is in fact a word, I should know that.
It is now.
I have never seen anyone pull the ring apart to like do a move on the 2x4s until I saw those guys do that a couple of NXT takeovers ago.
That was a thing of beauty, because that was one where, like, once again, any wrong move, well, someone's heavily concussed or severe neck injury.
Yep.
Like, just really, it wasn't like a high spot, like a Shane McMahon, you know, falling off the top of the Hell in a Cell yelling, "Daddy, love me," on his way down. But just brutal.
Yeah,
brutal.
It's whenever they pull back the pads on the outside to reveal the concrete, or like I said, pulling back all the padding, and you just see it's just 2x4s underneath mm-hmm. that ring. And that doing any move on that is just like,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
High risk for a splinter.
Yeah.
Yes.
For sure. Absolutely. So let's move on to Sunday. It is Survivor Series. Survivor Series, typically my favorite. And from what I understand from one of the podcasts I listen to, Vince McMahon, not a huge fan of the traditional 5-on-5 Survivor Series match.
Isn't this his creation?
No, I think it's maybe a Pat Patterson thing, but okay. that you know came up with
back
the match,
in the
something
day?
Like that.
Okay.
Yeah, but from what I understand, it's the creative team that has to keep going. Like, no, people love the Survivor Series match, and he's like, I don't get it.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, Survivor Series is always one of those that I hear people always mention by name. Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, SummerSlam. Those are always the ones that people talk about. But I'm not that familiar with Survivor Series. Even watching it back in the day, I don't remember Survivor Series being that big of a deal.
No, it was the Thanksgiving thing, and the Survivor Series match was an elimination 5-on-5 match. So once a guy is pinned or submitted, he's out.
He's out, yeah.
And then the team is down a deficit, and the last people standing are the survivors. I'm a big fan of that, because whenever you have more than like three guys on a side for a tag team match and it's a one fall match, I'm like,
well, yeah,
what the hell?
You're not going to be able to see everybody's stuff.
Right, exactly. Somebody's only going to be in the match for like 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. And darn it, I want to see everybody.
And I guess now they put a SmackDown against Raw. Like, I'm like, what's the big deal? Okay, somebody wins. Who cares? But even now they're talking like, Raw's got to win. SmackDown's got to win. And I'm like, but why?
It is kind of goofy, because the buildup for it has been awful this year because of Crown Jewel. Like, mm-hmm. they were building towards Evolution, and then a week later they had to build towards Crown Jewel, and then it's like, well, we got 2 weeks for Survivor Series. What are you going to do? And it just, phew, out of the gate. Plus the fact that one of my friends had brought up, too, that everyone fights to be, like, the captain of the team, mm-hmm. But, like,
What's the prestige behind it? What's the big deal? Oh, you're the captain.
Next Monday or the Monday after that, no one's going to remember who the captain of either team was.
Yeah, no one's going to remember. And then everyone's going to realize, oh, cool, we have a break now. We can actually have a proper build to is TLC?
TLC is,
TLC
I think,
is in December.
Event. Yeah.
Yeah, and you're right. The build to Survivor Series has been absolute crap because of all the controversy around Crown Jewel.
It's just very sudden.
It's very sudden, and it's almost as if they realize, oh no, we have a big show. We have to just, you know, just throw crap against the wall and see what sticks.
But some of the crap they've thrown against the wall, especially in the last, like, 4 days, has been amazing.
Yeah, the last week,
some of
week or so
the
has been
best.
Great.
These particular two go-home shows of Raw and SmackDown have been some of my favorite go-home shows of probably the last year.
I will argue that the ending of Raw was outstanding. The rest of Raw, no.
Yeah, I fell asleep. I
went to bed. Yeah. I missed the ending of Raw. Because I'm sorry, if you have a three-hour show, ending be damned, you have to keep my attention. Mm-hmm. If it's going to be Snooze Fest City, I'm going to bed. I have work in the morning.
Well,
make it
was,
worth my time.
As far as Raw is concerned, I think the big takeaways were the Dean Ambrose promo was great.
Well, of course.
Was, you know, eventually they're going to lead to something. It's not going to be the Sunday, but we're going to get to see Dean and
oh,
Seth.
You mean the one where he's sitting on the hood of a,
on the
like
hood
a
car.
Cavalier
he's
with
got,
a fire burning and
he's
a barrel
got a trash fire.
From a hobo?
I'm yeah, like, he's got a trash fire going on.
I'm like, they just happened to like walk up on him while he was doing this? Like, come on.
Dean Ambrose is crazy, man. He's yeah, yeah. He sits in the parking lot on his rent a car and builds a trash fire for a promo.
Well, you think a WWE superstar could afford a nicer rental car too?
Yeah, well, he's saving his money.
Yeah, I guess. Be,
you know, he knows there's going to be life after wrestling, and those checks won't be coming in as much as they used to.
Right, but yeah, the end of Raw featured Becky Lynch beating up Ronda Rousey in the back, mm-hmm. the SmackDown women's locker room coming out and beating up the Raw women's locker room, and then Becky Lynch getting a little bit of color thanks to Nia Jax. Just the most vicious forearm, if you can see it on Twitter now, but the most yeah. vicious forearm I've ever seen right in the face.
I just, like, when I saw it, because, like, when they first aired the footage of, you know, of the ending, like, I caught it on YouTube. And then they finally isolated when Nia basically cold cocked her in the face. Mm-hmm. What happened?
Yeah.
What in the world? Like, look, I know accidents happen, but Jesus Jones. Like, that's insane what she did.
But it also gave us quite possibly one of the highlights of Becky Lynch's career with a bloody face,
yeah.
just continuing to look like the total badass.
Mm-hmm.
I was not around for the Stone Cold Steve Austin era, but I feel like that was the same feeling everybody got when
yeah,
Stone Cold Steve Austin was being a huge
this
badass.
Is like the Austin 316 moment, but for Becky Lynch.
Yeah.
And like, this is the first time. So watching the replays and stuff, watching a little bit of stuff online yesterday before I watched SmackDown, that's the first time I could believe like Becky Lynch would be able to beat Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
To me, I don't know. You sound, I'm getting the vibe that you guys are big Becky Lynch fans.
Yes.
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
But
see,
at the
me,
same
I'm like,
time,
eh, I like Charlotte Flair. Like, I really like Charlotte Flair. So I was like, I don't think Becky Lynch could beat. And then she beat her twice. And I was like, well,
Becky
maybe.
Has definitely been the weakest link of the of Sasha, Bailey, her, and Charlotte
yeah. and
for a long
to sell her
time.
As a heel. I'm like, I don't really buy Becky Lynch as a heel. But now after Monday night, I'm like, okay, you're winning me over as the Becky Lynch as a heel whole storyline,
right.
that whole thing. I'm kind of buying in on it now.
Right. I also enjoy that between their two, I definitely felt much like the Brock Lesnar match going into this match, like, well, Ronda's going to win this match. And I still kind of feel that way, even with the replacement, because Becky apparently is concussed and will not make it to Survivor Series, which is a huge disappointment.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too. They have all this buildup, all this hype. They do all this stuff Monday night Raw. And then all of a sudden, like, oh, everything we built to is...
Yep.
It's gone. Like, Goldust just blew it right out of his palm.
Yep.
Or like Thanos with the Avengers. You know, I'm like, that was such a waste. You guys just did all this awesome stuff. You had me hyped up for Survivor Series. Yeah, okay, cool. We'll see Ronda Rousey, what she's taking on Charlotte Flair. Is
yeah.
that what's going on? Like, but why? You know,
yeah.
like, what's the, ooh, okay, it's just a match. It's a Raw match, the way I feel, you know?
Yep.
You know, I mean, I am bummed that this match isn't going to come to a head this weekend. But, I mean, they now know there's some heat there. They can revisit that match at some point. And if creative were actually creative, they would find a way to capitalize that on at WrestleMania, some way, somehow, I don't know how it's going to happen, but you're the creative department. Figure it
yeah,
out.
Be creative.
Yeah, be
create
creative.
Something.
Exactly. And I know I mentioned this kind of on our chat the other night, but I feel personally that this could actually be a good thing for the rest of the card, because I really was not looking forward to a lot of the other matches lined up. I was really looking forward to seeing Ronda and Becky. I feel like now people are going to have to step up, because that big, you know, showdown isn't going to be there anymore.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, creative did get somewhat creative when SmackDown the following night, because instead of getting Brock Lesnar versus AJ Styles for the second year in a row.
Yeah.
They decided to turn Daniel Bryan heel and have him clock AJ Styles in the nuts. for a win, for a victory, so that he will face Brock Lesnar this weekend.
The best tweet I saw after SmackDown was, wow, it's been a really rough year for AJ Styles' penis.
Oh, it is. He must have a wiener of steel.
Just like what? 2018, yeah. Bad year for AJ Styles' penis.
It's a good
penis.
Thing he's already got three or four kids because he's not having any more.
Yeah, no. My God. Between Shinsuke. Yeah. Like, I'm kind of getting tired of hitting him in the nuts, too. And it's not so much like, come on, like this is Johnny Cage of Mortal Kombat. Like, that's the only move he has. Hit the guy in the balls, like, win.
This is still my, I can't show it to you here, but this is still my.
Show us is because of his wiener here.
No,
I'm like, again.
That's my lock screen is still Shinsuke and AJ nice. Clocking each other in the nuts.
That's nice.
So every time Shinsuke hits somebody in the nuts, it makes me laugh. And it never will cease to. But I Brock Lesnar's going to destroy Daniel Bryan.
Oh, I agree.
There's no question.
Yeah, I don't know how they're really going to book that one and have it be convincing. And I'm over Brock Lesnar. I don't care.
Yeah.
Even facing AJ Styles, who I love.
Right.
I'm like, I don't care. Don't care about you.
Before last night, when it was just AJ Styles and Brock Lesnar, you know, match two, I was like, well, AJ has to win this one. Otherwise, why are you bothering?
Right.
Because I don't care.
No, titles don't change hands.
Not
anything.
At all.
No.
Like, that's the thing I also don't get about Survivor Series. Like, so you have all the champs going up against each other.
Just the Raw champ versus the SmackDown champ.
It's like, just like a scrimmage, you know? It's like a school scrimmage against wrestlers.
And once again, there's no real stakes on the line.
There's nothing on the line.
There's alleged pride, which I'm not buying into. And I will say this.
Alleged pride that only showed up 2 weeks ago.
Well, naturally, because there was other shows that they had to book. But I will say, and they should have had some sort of stake, because Mixed Match Challenge, Mixed Match Challenge, they actually put up a prize for whomever wins that.
Yeah.
Whatever team wins, those two wrestlers will get entrant 30 in the Royal Rumble. There should have been something. Like, I'm not buying this whole, brand pride.
Do you think if they'd have made maybe like a cup that said best in the world on it or something like that, that would be enough?
No, because we all know that those are just absolute props. There's a green belt somewhere from the greatest Royal Rumble that's just
true.
Collecting dust. And
that's
it's a shame because that was a cool looking belt.
Yeah. The SmackDown Tag Team Champions of the Bar are going to face the Authors of Pain. That's going to be just dudes hitting each other as hard as possible.
I like that.
I think there's a chance that will be better than we expect. Because the bar is set kind of low. Set kind of low. You see
Zoom.
I did there. I think the sleeper match on this card now is definitely Seth Rollins and Shinsuke Nakamura.
See, now that Becky and Ronda are gone, like, that's the match I'm looking forward to the most.
Yeah.
Even though, once again, that build has been meh because Seth's been distracted by Dean.
Yeah. Seth is focused on Dean, and Shinsuke's been the U.S. title holder for months and barely gets any TV time.
Yeah, you hardly see him defend the title. You don't really see him do anything after after he won. I was like, oh, what happened to him? He got sick of kicking people in the nuts here, so he's back in Japan, like, busting balls or what?
Right. As we were mentioning earlier, we're going to get to see Ronda Rousey and Charlotte Flair.
I still think it'll be good.
Yeah, I feel much like the Brock Lesnar match. Like, well, of course Ronda wins this match. Whereas before going in, I was like, I would say, of course, Ronda is going to be Becky Lynch, but the crowd is so behind Becky Lynch that, like, this is, they might siege a mutiny if you bury Becky Lynch under Ronda Rousey. But
I feel like they would do that on purpose just to get that reaction. Like, they want to get the crowd pissed off.
Yeah,
like,
they've done it with Roman Reigns for so long.
Yeah.
For sure. And then we've got our traditional Survivor Series matches. The one that I'm the most interested in, the tag match.
Well, finally, because people are getting booked. That's why.
Yeah, because there's a bunch of guys in there that I haven't gotten to see on TV in a long ass time, like Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson.
God bless them.
Or Sanity. And it's the Ascension is going to be in there. Yay!
First of all, did you know that the Colognes are still alive?
I
didn't know that until last night when they showed up on SmackDown. I'm like, the Colognes are still on the payroll.
I didn't even know they were a thing.
Yeah.
They did dust them off, I think, a month ago and put them on SmackDown. And that was when I was like, oh, they work here.
Right.
But yeah, you've got Team Raw, which is Chad Gable and Bobby Roode, The Revival, The B-Team, The Lucha House Party, which has three members like the New Day, and all three members get to participate all the time.
Why not?
I guess they're small.
Yeah. Hey,
where did the Lucha Party come from? Are they?
They were from 205, the Cruiserweight show.
Because all of a sudden I'm like, who are all these Luchador guys? I'm like,
right.
So I love the Luchador style wrestling. I'm like, I don't know who the heck these guys even are. They got some sweet masks, but what?
And then the Ascension. That's all of Team Raw against Team SmackDown, which is the Usos, the New Day, Sanity, Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson, and the Colognes. I feel like SmackDown was way more stacked on this side.
Oh yeah, and their little promo yesterday. I'm a sucker for good promos and camera angles, and the way they shot it last night where they ended like by walking towards the camera. I'm like,
right.
Yeah, okay, I feel this in my loins. Like, this is good. I like this team.
These guys are going to kill somebody.
Exactly.
On the women's side, we got Team Raw, Mickey James, Nia Jax, Tamina, Natalya, and Ruby Riott versus Team SmackDown. Carmella, Naomi, Sonya Deville, Asuka, and somebody replacing Charlotte Flair.
Right.
Which they will decide on maybe it'll be Nikki Cross.
Oh, that'd be great.
That would be great because it was cool to see her the other week on SmackDown. And then on the men's side, you got Team Raw, Braun Strowman, Finn Balor, Bobby Lashley, Drew McIntyre, and Dolph Ziggler against Team SmackDown, The Miz, Shane McMahon, Rey Mysterio, Samoa Joe, and Jeff Hardy. Once again, I feel like, I feel like SmackDown is a little bit more stacked.
Oh, I mean, they do have the best wrestler in the world in Shane McMahon.
Right.
I'm inclined to lean toward them in winning.
Right. It's weird, too, because it feels like, especially on the women's side, like the women's Raw Survivor Series team is almost all heels. So
yeah.
That's a good point.
It's
good
like they're conditioning you to cheer SmackDown for that particular match. And this one is a little strange because on the SmackDown side, you do have The Miz and Samoa Joe, who are traditionally bad guys, mm-hmm. and Shane McMahon, who is somewhere in between currently. But then on the Raw side, you've got Dolph and Drew, who we boo all the time. And you've got Bobby Lashley, who we don't like. And Braun Strowman, who we like, but is supposed to be a bad guy because he just demolishes everybody. So it feels like they've preconditioned us to expect SmackDown to be the good guys in a lot of these matches.
Could be.
If they were smart, they would set up a lot of feuds moving forward within these matches. But they haven't really been proving smart with booking. So I'm not going to get my hopes up as a fan. I'm just going to tune in and watch and hopefully won't be annoyed.
Well, that's I I'm a big Survivor Series fan. So I'm hopeful that this will be one of the ones that... I enjoy, even though, like I said, the bar seems set a little bit low for a lot of these matches, but definitely look forward to Seth and Shinsuke. And I really like 5-on-5 elimination tag team matches. So.
How many times have we done, segments like this where we're like, I'm not really looking forward to this. And then all of a sudden, like the next day, both you and I talk and go, oh my God, the show is great.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yes. But I mean, mind you, we were going in with absolutely piss poor expectations for the show.
Right.
Well, yeah, you set your expectations low, and then you get blown away by mediocrity, you know?
I know.
All right.
Such is life.
All right, guys. Well, I'm looking forward to, I'm looking forward to talking to you guys again after this, and maybe we'll preview TLC
in
a couple of weeks. Looking forward to, you guys look forward to checking out James and the Casual Gamer on WRAF's website.
Yeah, WRAF.com. Check out the Casual Gamer on Riff TV.
Yep. Check out all the cool rock and roll stories Erica writes for us on the WRAF website. And of course, check out Nerd Radio when we come back next week. And on our social media at Nerd Radio 101.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Nobody asked you, Kevin!
Have a great weekend.
Golden Radio.
I know.
See you later, nerds.
And we're out.
You're going to say something funny for the end tag. You better say it now.
Now?
I got a
time limit on me or something?
Well, we're going to talk about Stan Lee. It's going to get real sad real fast.
I'm inappropriate.
I'll keep it uplifting, guys. Yeah, don't worry.
All right.
My take on Stan Lee will be a little bit different.
All right. Fair enough.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.